This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. Great to see you again. Hi, how are you doing? Talia. Hello. What are you thinking? You're thinking, why are you looking at me like that? I'm just talking to you. Is that all right? What do you think? Breakfast time. It's time for breakfast. The inscrutable stare. There we go, that's alpacas for you. Anyway, let's get this breakfast out. So I'm thinking about alpacas and getting set up, getting the basics in place. What are the kind of things that they need? Well, feed, or food, water, shelter. So the food, grazing. And it's different through the year. It changes. So we need to think about that not just as a one-off or as a snapshot, but thinking about the process of going through a year. What's the weather going to be doing? Is the spring going to come early or late? They're going to have access to the right kind of food. And then we supplement that with hay, with forage, and also with dried food, usually. They need an appropriate balance of all of that. So it needs a bit of thought and a bit of preparation, somewhere to store it. And they will enjoy variety, but they also enjoy the regular, the things that they always have. So they quite like that as a mix of things. I think with alpacas that they like the familiar, but they also like variety. Oh, well, that's true of all of us, I think. Don't you think? So if you are finding that there's limited space and the various things that you're able to provide constrained by the fields, the land, the things that you've got available, then what are the other things you can add into the mix to help supplement those things? The things that would be stimulation, things that would be something extra, moving them from one field to another. It's amazing how it puts a spring in their step, how much they enjoy that. But also the kind of forage that they, or kind of grazing that they have access to. And we need to be careful about some of the winter grazing, because it gets less and less that's currently available, so they start to get more explorative. They start to experiment and start to go wider in terms of the things they'll eat, and sometimes they get eating stuff that's not quite so good for them, and also isn't... it's a bit more than that. It's actually poisonous. So we need to make sure what they can get access to, and the range of that is all safe. But how much space have you got? And we can talk about that another time in terms of the numbers, but the rule of thumb of 5 alpacas to an acre. Rough, very rough, but they need enough space, but not too much. If it's too large, the grazing is too large, then you find that they don't eat it. They're not high volume eaters, and therefore some stuff will get out of control and you'll need to top it or strim it back. And other bits they'll really favour. It's nice to have the choice. And if you've got a large field, then you can split it down. And that can be really helpful to give them the stimulation of moving and choice as well. So a large field split in four, so the central cross in the middle, if you can imagine that. If you broaden that and you've got a laneway, you've got something in the middle there, which allows them to move from one corner, sort of one quadrant, one quarter to another, you can open gates in one end and the other end, and they can graze as they go, but also they're in a relatively open but constrained space. Where they're moving between, they're kept in, but they've also got the open space to move and make the choice. And if you're moving animals by yourself, that can be useful, so that they can only go one direction. That's really good. So being able to give them that chance to make a choice can be difficult, but where it's possible, would encourage you to think about how you could create that. And for the other areas of stimulation, it's things like unusual objects or less familiar objects, which you can bring in. Just really interesting video clip on Instagram with Rita Suarez, our friend in Australia, and what they did and the things. And I'll leave you to see the video to see which item ended up being the favourite on that occasion, at least. But it may be that kind of experiment you could try. Just see how the alpacas engage with new things. It doesn't have to be something to eat, but they quite like investigating things that they might be able to eat. But the other things, I mean, occasionally you get situations like a plastic bag blowing in the wind, and they get twitched by that. If they're familiar with that kind of thing, not that we want lots of plastic bags blowing around, but if, you know, the sound of the crinkling of a tarpaulin or plastic, that's it's quite demanding of their attention. But if they're familiar with things, then it's going to be easier in the situation where you don't want them to panic. So thinking of moving them, for example, if you're going to put them into a trailer and the ramp comes down, you put the ramp down, it's got often got a rubber mat, it's black. So for them, it can feel like a hole in the ground. It's a black hole. It's a black rubber mat, and it feels funny under the feet, the rubber. So maybe you want to put some hay down, a straw down over the rubber. Maybe you don't want to just move them into that on the moment you are loading them up to take them away, or to, you know, very rare occasions that happens, I guess, mostly. But if you are moving them around, and if you're taking them to shows and that kind of thing, then they need to be familiar with it. Then they will get familiar quite quickly. But give them the opportunity to step on things, to walk over things, to step over lines. I had some that had never seen a yellow line on the hatched area. Do not park here. And that was where I needed to stop and unload and then walk them across to take them to the place we were doing some matings. And, yeah, that was a challenge. He'd never seen yellow lines on the ground before. He wasn't sure about this at all. Eventually skipped over them, jumped over them. But becoming familiar with the unfamiliar, being exposed to things like that. Firstly, it's stimulating. Secondly, it acclimatizes them to things so that it's less panicky when you have to go through those experiences. And obviously the youngsters, when they're around, they've got a whole world to explore, a whole new set of things. And I'll share a picture on the website, alpacatribe.com, on this episode, this post. We'll have a little picture there. And it's the youngsters when they discovered a brush. No, it's just a normal broom. It was just a brush broom leaning up against the fence, which they'd never seen before. And it was a little bit of a, oh, what's this? So that was interesting. And I loved going through that exploratory phase when they saw things for the first time, like wagtails. We have some wagtails down by the lake, and it's a kind of bird that wags its tail, and it dips, and it the tail does wag. It catches your eye. And it certainly does if you're an alpaca and you're a youngster. And so they ended up chasing these birds. When we had chickens around, then they would be chasing after the chickens and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of exploratory stuff going on with the youngsters. That's always fascinating. So if you get a chance to watch them for a while, that's always fun. And then, so we talked about the food, we talked about space. They need enough space and choice, if they can have it, about which direction to go, which path to take, that kind of thing. And I recognise the limitations that some people have. So one of the other things that you can do is to deliberately bring them in to do some of the husbandry stuff, or just to bring them in to do the kind of organisation you would do for the husbandry. So you don't necessarily have to trim the toenails, but you can bring them in, put them in catch pens, move them around, just as a getting used to it. Don't overdo that, obviously, because you're just going to stress them out. But if you're going to be doing things and they need to be manageable, that can be helpful for everybody. It also just gives them a little bit of a difference, a different look on life for that day. And it just gives you a bit more confidence, hopefully, for the next time you have to do that thing. You know, the kind of thing that does and doesn't work. And who to have at the front and who to have a distance between, either for spits or kicks. When you're moving alpacas around, particularly if you're feeling like you're in a hurry, it communicates to them. They will move fast when they need to, but generally they like to be sedate and steady and moving around. So doing those things, getting them familiar, getting you familiar with the process of moving them from place to place, moving them around, getting a flow. So as they come in, you can have a group of them that come in that are processed, whatever you're doing with them, and then they go out. And as I say, just doing a practice run can be helpful for everybody. So variety is helpful. Regularity and routine and familiarity is also helpful. And a spread of those things, if we can, is good. So we talked about food, water. Water's an interesting one. They will take water from puddles, and but they like clean water too. And if they can get access to where they can stand in it or climb into your water bucket or water trough, then they will. And you're going to have to empty it and clean it out and all that kind of stuff, or lift it up higher so they can't get into it. But even then, some of them will stand up in it. And one Alice, she would climb in to the trough lodge. It's like a tank, really. And it's big enough just to fit an alpaca. So I'd fill it up with clean water and she'd stand in it, front legs, and then she'd move a bit further and get in with the back legs, and then she'd sit down in it and all the water's coming out. But she enjoyed that. And it's an experience of the sensation, I think, of the water. They like that, the cool of the water. They also like it practically for cooling down, so that's something to be aware of. And they also obviously need to drink. So balancing those needs up, how do we give them access to water that's going to mean that they can drink and have a clean supply? They can also have interactions with other water. And it could be in a paddling pool if you need to be able to cool them down. Just thinking about cooling them down, if you do have animals that get really hot, then it's the belly area. That's where most of the heat from the internal organs is going to be generated. And that's where they're going to overheat. So that's also the place that they're going to cool down quickest. So if you can get cool water and stuff on their belly area, then that's the place. Neck as well, to some extent, but mainly it's going to be the belly area. So just thinking about that, if you needed to quickly cool down an animal that was overheating. Also worth thinking about that in terms of coats, and can you give them the protection in the cold weather and the wet weather for the youngsters? So a coat that'll go underneath them, so they've got something to be able to sit on. They're not in direct contact with the cold, wet ground. That can be helpful too. Oh, so many, and rubber mats, of course. We in the stables, we've got concrete floors, but we've got rubber mats in there, which they sit on there. Cow comfort mats. And they love them. They will sit on them by choice. They do feel much more nice, much nicer than concrete. Oh, there's a surprise. So, but they will make those choices. So if you can give them the options where you can, then that's really helpful too. So there you go, a few thoughts on the other bits to think about if you were thinking how to prepare for keeping alpacas and how to improve our care for the ones that we do have. Thank you. Good to see you again. Take some time out with your alpacas if you can. And breathe. And watch. And learn. They're always ready to teach you. There'll be something going on that you can learn from your alpacas. So enjoy your time with them. See you again soon. Bye for now.
This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.